for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday evening, December the 31st, 1978. Midwinter Camp Meeting, Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Frank Hammond is the speaker on...
Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. I'd like to take you to a passage when Brother Glenn asked me to minister and help with the Lord's Supper. I thought it was interesting that earlier this evening the Lord had put a passage on my heart, and it's the account in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 of Paul telling about the observance of the Lord's Supper. So we see the Holy Spirit putting it all together, and since He put this on my heart, I feel that I should share at least the nucleus and the nub of what Paul is talking about here. So let's look at it for just a moment. I feel like it has a very important truth for us. God has emphasized the fact that we are family. We are natural families and we are spiritual family. And it's great to say it's good to be in the family of God. That's a great thought. That's a comforting thought. I'm a part of the family of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I have brothers and sisters. Amen. Sometimes it takes a little bit of the reality of it next to us when one of them moves in with us. So here moves my brother and my sister in with me. In the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, let's begin reading in verse 17. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. I don't guess any of you ever knew of a situation where Christians came together and it turned out for the worse rather than the better. I trust you haven't had those experiences. Then it says, but for first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. Even the trials and difficulties and things that come to the top that's not so pleasant are for a positive purpose of approving and making manifest those that are true among the people of God. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Or to be translated, it is impossible, or you cannot eat and observe the Lord's Supper as you are doing it. Now, the Corinthian church had a lot of problems, didn't it? And he's saying, the way that you're doing it, this is not the observance of the Lord's Supper. Now, see what he goes ahead to say by way of explanation. He says, For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry, and another is drunken. In other words, like in the Old Testament, the Passover feast was observed, and when Jesus went to institute the Lord's Supper, they had eaten the Passover feast just prior to that. They had had a common meal together prior to the Passover. Here they were practicing it in that way. The Corinthian church was having, supposedly, a common meal, but it didn't turn out to be that way. Everybody brought some food to the church. It's what we would say today is a kind of a potluck dinner, that everybody brought a covered dish, and they brought it. But the reason, he said, you can't observe the Lord's Supper, because when you come together and each one of you bring your own food, you're not sharing it with one another. Some people that had a lot of food would bring it, and they would sit over in one corner and eat it all by themselves, and their brother in the Lord who had come and was very poor and had nothing or very little to bring for himself, the others were not sharing with him. And he's saying it's impossible for you to observe the Lord's Supper in this fashion. In other words, if you can't share in the material things that you have, how do you expect to share in the spiritual things? See, the word communion, it's used back in the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, verse 16, and another passage there. It says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? And the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? The word communion means to share together. It means to partake and to participate in something common. So as we've come tonight to observe the Lord's Supper, and as we have taken the bread and the wine, we have said we share together one with another in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have something in common, and that common denominator among us is that we believe in the redemptive blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these came together to observe that meal, and they were unwilling to share their food with one another. And the Lord says, do you think that you can participate in me together if you can't share your common things together? You know, there's a principle in the Word of God that we go from the natural to the spiritual. That's one of the principles of the law of God. We begin on a natural plane and proceed to a spiritual plane. You know, we found it important to teach our people back at home the very practical things to do, to really learn to share with one another, to share the material things that we have with one another, just as the Corinthians did here, or should have done and failed to do, as God was exhorting them to do. All right, reading on. He says in verse 22, what have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them which have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death till he come. He's coming again. Hallelujah. And we've shown forth the Lord's death. And it's a testimony of what Jesus did. And he says, continue to give this. This is a witness. This is a testimony of the death of Jesus for the sins of the world until Jesus comes again. Keep giving that witness and that testimony. So we've been obedient to the Lord tonight. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. That's a pretty serious warning, isn't it? But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, for the reason that some do not observe it worthily, some among you are weak and sickly, and many sleep the sleep of death. Some have died prematurely, and others are weak, and others are sick, because they haven't obeyed what I have said and partaken of the supper worthily. For if you would judge yourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. If any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. Now just a few thoughts about the verses that we've read. We've heard these verses many times, and it might be that I would share something that would be a little bit out of the vein of which you've considered some of these verses and some of the expressions in these verses prior to tonight. But I ask you to listen carefully to what the Lord would reveal to us. The Lord says here that we must, as we partake, discern the Lord's body in verse 29. What does he mean, discerning the Lord's body? We know that the Scripture teaches that there are two expressions of the Lord's body. When Jesus came here on earth, he had a physical body. He dwelt in a physical body. And that body was the body that was crucified. That's the body that was nailed to the cross. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree, the Scripture says. So when we come to observe the Lord's Supper, we observe the remembrance of the body of Jesus, his earthly body, which was nailed to the cross and by which he suffered and died for our redemption. But there is another body of Christ that is mentioned, and that is the church
as the body of Christ, all of us as believers here tonight, fellow believers in the Lord, we comprise the body of Christ. And this is another important thing that we are to remember. We're not only to remember in a vertical relationship the body of Jesus who has died for us and has been slain on the cross, but we must also remember the horizontal relationship, the relationship that we have with one another in the body of Christ. And the reason I've taken time to read all of this context for you tonight is in order that you might see this important principle. There is no man who can live as an isolated island with the Lord. We are together. By the very virtue of what Jesus did, He brought us together into a spiritual body, His body, the church. He is the head of that body. Now, what Jesus is emphasizing here is that you cannot really discern His body, which died on the cross, without discerning the body of fellow believers that He's put us among and made us a part of. It's a vital connection. You can't have one without the other. You can't say, well, I'm going to be a Christian, and I'll just go out here, and I'll live like I want to, and live for myself, and do my own thing. It'll just be me and Jesus. You see, sometimes we want to do that because other believers make it hard for us really to act like Christians sometimes. And so we say, well, they make me act tacky, so I'll go out here, and I'll be by myself, and I'll be real spiritual. God says you can't do it. You've got to learn to live with your family. Hallelujah. You want to learn to live with your family and behave among your family. So God has shown us now that we cannot separate the one from the other. Now, looking back into the text just a moment, he says that we must discern the Lord's body. What does it mean to discern the Lord's body? The word discern means to make a distinction, to see the body of Christ as distinct from other bodies, as being unique in a very special sense. Now, this is true of the body that hung upon the cross. There have been a lot of people that have died. In fact, there have been a lot of people who have been crucified. But there is one body that was crucified that was different and unique and distinct from all other bodies. There were criminals that died on each side of Jesus. But we pay no attention to that so far as what we've done here tonight. So far as the Lord's Supper is concerned, we're not discerning any other body. We're discerning the one body that speaks of redemption on our behalf. And so it is true of the body, which is the church. There are a lot of other groups of people that have come together. There are a lot of organizations that have assemblies. But there is one assembly, there is one group, there is one gathering of people that we discern as being unique and special unto us. So we are discerning the body of the Lord. We are discerning the church and say, this body has a special meaning for me. It's not like any other body. It makes a contribution to my life that no other group of people can make. I have a relationship here that I could not conceivably have anywhere else in all the world. This is a very special body to me, the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Now, he says that because some have failed to discern the Lord's body, vertically and horizontally, that because of this, some among you are sickly and weak, and some are prematurely dead. Now, this can speak not only in a literal sense, but in a spiritual sense. There are those who are sick, and they are weak, and they have died prematurely because the provision is in Jesus. Amen. See, Jesus died, and He by His stripes we are healed. See, there is no provision for our healing apart from the sacrifice of Jesus. It's in the redemption. It's in the redemption. And those that do not discern that Jesus died for them to meet their needs, he says some are sick and weak and some have died unnecessarily because they haven't discerned the body of the Lord. But what about the body which is the church? See, the Lord has put the ministries in His church. In the body of Christ. I tell you, God slips up on us. You know, we can't say, well, I can get along without Him. You can't do it because God put healing in the body of Christ. The gifts of the Spirit operate as they did here this afternoon in tremendous anointing of the Spirit. As Brother David and others were anointed by the Spirit of God and we came and hands were laid on and the power and glory of God came down and there was a ministry. It was in the body of Christ. Sometimes God will operate independently, apart from the ministries that He set in the church. And sometimes he will use those ministries and ministers that he has set in the church through which disseminate his love and his power and his healing. In the context here, he is talking to us especially about learning how to discern the body of Christ, which is the church. Because that's where the Corinthians were weak. That's where they were failing. And if you'll look, going back into chapter 11, back up to verse 17, where we were seeing there that they came together not for the better but for the worst, and they were not sharing the things that they had. Here are several ways I want to point out, just from this context, quite briefly. But I want you to see some of the examples that the Scripture gives here of how to go about discerning the body of believers. The first thing that we see here is that we discern it when we share with one another. Sharing is a very important principle. God has really been teaching this in our local body back home. And I have an idea that He's been teaching it to you in other places, because the Spirit does the same thing here, there, and yonder. And He's been telling us that we've got to get rid of our selfishness. You see, the book of Acts begins as the early church was formed, and it says that they had all things common because there were some that had need, and because they had need, the Lord made provision. Where did He put the provision? Did He make a special pipeline from heaven and say, well, here's one of my little saints over here, and he has a need. And this one over here, he has a need. And God said, I'll just pour out a blessing on him, and I'll pour a blessing out on him. God did it in a very interesting way. He put the provision for the needs of the people in the entire body. And He said the only way the needs are going to get met, the material needs are going to get met, is when the body loves one enough to to share the material things that they have with one another. You know, people are getting a little excited today because it says it looks like an economic crunch is going to come. And so one may run out here and he may try to squirrel away everything he can in order to get ready for the tribulation that he's going to go through. And you know, everybody say, well, you better get your faith up to where you can believe independently and have a pipeline to God and get everything you need. Well, I tell you, God's apt to do it just like He did it back there in the second chapter of Acts and the fourth chapter of Acts. He's just liable to put the need in the body of Christ. And if we're selfish, there are going to be some that suffer need. There are going to be some that lack. But if God has given us something to share, we need to learn how to share it. And some people not only need to learn how to share, but they need to learn how to receive. Some people are so proud they haven't learned how to receive. I know a man, I've been trying to serve him for the longest. And I said to the other pastor, I can't do anything for that fellow. And he said, I know you. He won't let you. He's too independent. He's too self-sufficient. He won't let you serve him. Well, I tell you, he'd better learn how to serve. All of us had better learn how to receive and to give to others. He's a good giver, but he's a poor receiver. I tell you, it's good to know how to let it go both ways. But sharing is one way that we discern the body of Christ. In the early church, they saw the widows that were neglected in the daily ministration. And it was a priority thing. And the apostles said, this need has to be met. And so they took the measures necessary to bring forth the men who would put over that ministry to see that the needs were met. You know, God wants us to have needs met without becoming need conscious. You know, if we're all out just trying to get all our material needs met, it takes our mind off the kingdom of God. God has arranged it so that we can have our needs met without getting involved in material things, without getting obsessed with money and all of these things. He said, just set your heart on the Lord and I'll show you the way to do it. So that's the way the early church did it. And it says that after the needs were met, that they went right on meeting and preaching the gospel and sharing there in the temple. The work of the ministry continued right on. But see, if some of them were out here and said, well, I'm sorry, I don't have time to go down to the temple meeting today because I've got to go out and find some work. I've got to go out and earn some money. I've got to go out and get some bread to eat. My family's hungry. But see, by sharing, the gospel ministry was enabled to continue on without interruption because the people had a heart for one another and shared with one another, and their needs were met in such a beautiful way that nobody was diversified and scattered from the body. They remained as one and they continued on ministering in the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Another thing that we see as we go to the latter part of chapter 11, in verse 33, it says, wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. When I was in the army, I was a chow hound. I always tried to work my way to the front of the line when it was time to go to the mess hall. And that seemed to be a competitive sport that some of us in the army had. And you know, You know, this the way that we are called to the table may be a reflection of our spiritual condition. It was with the Corinthians. They were selfish about eating food, and it was a reflection of their real spiritual condition. I was appalled. We had a young man come into our fellowship a while back, and he was getting settled, and he hadn't gotten to a job, so we invited him to come over to our house and have meals with us. So the first day he came over for a meal, we all came in, and Ida Mae had the food on the table, and he didn't really get set down good and solid in his chair. And he began to reach for food with his hands. Before anything, I mean, he just dived in. You know, he was getting it, he was putting it on his plate. And he was here, and he was ready to go, you know. Man, before we could get set down, you know, he had his plate loaded, and here he went. And I had to get him aside, and I said, "Brother, that's not the way we do it. We'll have to teach you some manners." I said, "Now, this is what I'm going to require. Next time you come to the table, you're going to wait until everybody else at the table has been served. You pass the food to everybody else before you take any for yourself. And you wait till somebody else starts eating before you start eating. See, we got to put this thing in reverse and go the opposite direction so you can get in some balance on this thing." You know, he's talking about tarrying one for another. Now, the Lord has a table. And some people are eager to get to the table. Just like some are eager in chow hounds to get to the literal table, some people are eager to get to the spiritual table. You say, "Hallelujah, we're going to have the Word of God. We're going to feast on the Word of God." And there'll be some, here they come, you know. "Man, let me get there. I want to get in. I want to feed on that Word." And there'll be some people, just like I've known people, you call them to the dinner table, and they'll go out and start a project somewhere. I mean, they, you know, it's like they didn't hear that it was time to come and eat the table. I never did understand people like that. They always were a great puzzle to me, because as soon as they said come to the table, well, I was at attention. I was ready to go. Well, that's a good way to be spiritual. But what we need to recognize, that not everybody has that eagerness to get to the spiritual table. So what? He says, tarry for them. You know, you can run off and be impatient and lose patience and get ahead of people that are slower spiritually. I remember the first time somebody told me about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And it was like they were saying, "Brother Frank, the Lord has set a table." Well, what's He serving? The baptism in the Holy Spirit. "I'm not hungry. I don't like that kind of spinach. I don't like the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to partake of that. I'm sorry." Well, I'm thankful that people didn't rush off and say, "Well, too bad, Brother Frank. Too bad for you. We'll just leave you behind." But I'm glad there were some that tarried for me. I'm glad there were some that prayed for me. I'm glad there's some that encouraged me. Come on, Brother Frank, let's come to the Lord's table. I've seen people, when we say, "We're going to set a table of the Lord," they say, "What are we going to have today?" I say, "We're going to have deliverance. God is going to serve us deliverance." I don't like deliverance.
Glory.
Don't like deliverance. I don't have anything to do. I'm not going to partake of that. Hallelujah. Some of us have felt like that. We finally got to the table, though. Aren't you glad that there was some tarrying, there was an opportunity to get? See what the Lord is saying? That some people are eager with the things of God and will just tear onto it right quick, and others want to look it over a little while and think about it a little while. So He says, just don't run off and leave everybody, but tarry for others until they see the things that they need. All right, yeah, we'll still tarry. Some of you know, it's kind of interesting, you know, we'll have deliverance like we had an anointed service here 3 or 4 times already. And there'll be a lot of opportunity, and some have kind of held back, you know. And they weren't sure. I don't know whether I want in on that. I'm not sure about that. We had one young man that was here all week, you know. And he came tonight just before the service, and he said, I'm talking about him because he's already left. I'm not embarrassing him. Anyway, he came and he said, "Brother Frank, I've been here," but he says, "I need my deliverance. I want my deliverance. And I'm not going to be here until the end of the service and this, that, and the other." And hallelujah. We had to tarry for him. I said, "Well, that's all right, son." So that's where I was the first part of the service. I took him up to our room up there and ministered deliverance to him, because he wanted to get deliverance before we left. But see, he missed so many opportunities. The table was set and the anointing was there, but he wasn't quite ready for it. Hallelujah. We need to be patient with one another. All right, here is another thing. Going on to the 12th chapter. See, the chapter division changes, but the theme doesn't change. And he's talking, beginning in about verse 4, with the gifts of the Spirit, the diversities of the gifts of the Spirit. And then he says in verse 7 that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all, or for the benefit of everybody. Here is another way that we discern the body of Christ, and that is through the operation of the gifts of the Spirit in our own life. See, He gives various ones of us in the body of Christ the operation of gifts of the Spirit. And so when the Spirit gifts operate, it is for the blessing and the benefit of everybody in the body. Now, if we sit on a gift, you know what I mean by sitting on a gift? If you sit on a gift, you say the Lord is stirring up in you and there's a moving of a prophecy coming forth and you feel there's a prophecy stirring in you, but you're not used to giving prophecies. It may be the first time and you say, well, what if I start talking and it doesn't sound right? And what if I say what I'm receiving and then I don't get anything else? I look dumb. And you feel strained. You feel awkward and you're uncertain and you're unsure. Well, see, we need to encourage one. Step on out because that's for the body. See, the body's going to be blessed. The gift is not for you. The gift is for the whole body.
Amen.
It's to bless. All of the gifts are given for the benefit of others. If God wants to move through you in a gift of healing, that healing flows through you and touches somebody else. So we discern the body of Christ. We distinguish the body of Christ when we move and operate in body ministry and the gifts of the Spirit flow out through us to touch somebody else. And then going on in this context, he talks about the church as a body. And down in verse 14, he says, "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body?" You know, sometimes Christians can be like that in the body of Christ. They can say, well, I'm not like Brother David. He's so talented and he can speak. And since he can do so much, I'm not like him, so I can't do anything. I don't have any talent. I don't have any ability. And I look at somebody else and I say, well, my, they're a good-looking hand, but all I am is a lousy foot. I can't do anything because I'm not like him. He's a hand. Look at him. Or he's an eye and all I am is an ear. To discern the body of Christ means that we don't hold ourselves back, but we realize that we are members in particular in the body of Christ, and we have been set in the body of Christ, and we serve the body of Christ. As we recognize that we have a position in it. Every one of us are important to the body of Christ. If you don't think so, stump your little toe. What gets the attention if you stump your little toe and it's really hurting? I mean, the whole body stops and gives attention to that little toe. It's the most important member of your body right at that moment. And sometimes we forget. How many of you have thought about your gallbladder much this week? Not unless you've got gallbladder trouble. Then you may have thought about it a good deal. But if you haven't had any problems with your gallbladder, you've probably gone all week long and haven't even given a second thought to your gallbladder. Does that mean that it's not important? Just because it's tucked away inside of you and you don't look at it every day and it's not out for inspection? No, you're thankful that it's there and it's functioning and it's carrying on. So it is. Every one of us are important to the body of Christ and every one of us have a function in that body. So don't feel inferior. Don't let an inferiority complex come in and tell you that you're a nothing, that you're a nobody and you have no contribution to make. Contributions vary. The different members of the body have different functions, but they're each one important to the overall function of the body. And then again, as we read on a little further in the context, we come to verse 21 and we have the reverse of that. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. One member of the body can't get puffed up and say, well, I've got all that it takes. I don't need anybody else. Just Jesus and me. We'll get it done. No. That's not discerning the large body. The discerning of the large body means that we realize that we are dependent, that we are related, we are interdependent, and we are the other members are necessary and they have a contribution to make to me. There is a ministry that they can give to me. And then going on down to verse 27, he says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets. He's talking about the ministers that the Lord has put in the church. If you want to discern the body, you're going to discern the ministers that he's given to serve in the body of Christ. See, early in the book of Acts, some of them said, well, I like Paul. I tell you, man, he is a theologian. He's really got a brain on him. I like Paul. Man, I'm a Paul man all the way. Somebody else said, I like Apollos. Man, he is an orator. I just like the way his words flow, and he gets my attention. I'm an Apollos man. And so here we go. They're divided. Some for Cephas, some for Paul, some for Apollos. See, we can't come in here and say, well, I can receive from Brother David. Now, he's my style of preacher.
Man, I tell you, he just lays it out. He just thinks like I do. I like the way David preaches. But Brother Frank, I tell you, he's a drag. I tell you, I just be glad when it's over with, when he's up there. Now, Brother George, man, I can really receive from Brother George. But I can't receive from the other. See, God says if you're going to discern the Lord's body, you will discern all of the ministers that He puts in the body and will be able to receive because each one is unique, each one is distinct, and each one have their own valid contribution that they make to the welfare of that body to be able to receive from all of them. Then He goes ahead and talks about ministries in the body. And He says that after that there are miracles and gifts and healings and helps and governments and diversities of tongues. He's talking about ministries in the body of Christ. And He said, there's a lot of ministries. And so you recognize and discern the body of Christ when you discern the ministries that God sets in the body and participate in those ministries together. So the Lord's given us some valuable teaching here, saints, about discerning the body of the Lord. See, we're a family. And it's wonderful to have a Christian family. We're also together as an army. You say, hallelujah, we're the army of God. Isn't that great? Glory to God. Then we're going to go against the enemy. We're going to defeat the devil. Oh, I'm glad I'm a part of the army of God. And then some little old preacher, lieutenant, get up there and said, all right, all of you soldiers, we've got to have some discipline in our lives. Well, I don't want any discipline. I want to get out there and fight the devil. You can't get out there and fight the devil until you discipline your life. You know, we get excited about getting into warfare, but when it gets to the matter of getting our lives in order before we get out there and kill ourselves and somebody else, sometimes that's another matter, isn't it? The Lord gave me a vision a while back I want to share with you. Young men have visions. That's scriptural, isn't it? And, you know, I have visions from time to time, but I always felt a little bit short on visions and felt a little bit deprived because most of my visions were still pictures. It was just like a snapshot, you know, and I'd see it. There wasn't any movement or anything. People get up and report a vision, you know, and all this action, everything happening and going on. Here I just get a little still picture. But one day I was in church and I was worshiping and I saw a vision and it was a motion vision. I got so excited watching that vision. Hallelujah, it just went on. I saw a big military parade ground like we used to have when I was in the Army where they'd bring many companies of troops out, and we would march before a reviewing stand where the commanding officer of the post would be there and observe the troops as we marched. And I saw about a dozen different companies of soldiers on this parade ground. And each one of them were under their separate commander, and each one of them were marching according to the instructions or orders that were given by their own personal commander. No two of the groups were doing the same thing at the same time. And so this group would be marching one way, and this one went another way, and this one over here still a different way, and that they all were marching back and forth on that big parade ground. And as I watched, occasionally, when they would give an order for a change in direction, there would be a soldier who wouldn't obey the command. He wouldn't turn in that direction, but he would keep going the way that he was going, and he'd just keep marching until he went off of the field and plumb out of sight. And then there was a change in the vision, and I saw another scene. And I saw still the same companies there, and instead of each one, you know, going different ways all at the same time, they were still under their individual commanders, but they were all doing the same thing simultaneously. If the command was given to go to the right, they all went to the right at the same time. If the command was given to go to the left, they all went to the left. If the command was given to go forward, they all went forward. Every time the command, every one of them were synchronized, all of the separate companies of soldiers. But still, as I watched them occasionally, there would be a soldier in the rank now and then who would not follow the instruction when the instruction was given to go in a certain direction. He would go the direction that he was already going and march off the field, over the hill, and out of sight. Then I saw a third division. And I saw all of the companies brought together as one big company. And they were marching together in complete unity. And there was no one walking off the field at this point. I mean, nobody left. They were all together. And they were all marching as one big company. All going together in complete unity, in complete step, one with another. And then I saw another scene. And at this scene, all of this great company was going forward. And as they went forward, the first long rank of soldiers that had perhaps 50 soldiers in the front rank, they all just lifted up in the sky. And then right behind them, the second rank, as they continued to march forward, they just lifted up. And the third one. And they just began, rank after rank, just began to lift up. And that's where my vision ended. And the Lord then gave me the interpretation, and he said, the little companies out there represented the different bodies of Christ in different localities. And here, this one over here, and he's under his leadership. And these others are under their various leaderships, and they're learning to follow their leaders. They're not synchronized. They're not all doing the same thing, but they're all following their commander. But once in a while, there is a rebellious one in the ranks. And when a change of direction is given, he goes off the field. You know, one thing that's happening in the body of Christ today, the Lord keeps giving new changes of direction from time to time. He says, all right, now we're going to go into the direction of praise. See, I've seen this happen. I know what I'm talking about. In our own church back at home, one day the Lord says, we're going to move into praise. We're going to go in that direction. There's some said, I don't believe in that. That's too much noise. That's not necessary. And here I go. And he walks off the field. You never see him again. We get to deliverance. We say, this is the direction the Lord wants us to go in. This one says, I'm not going that way. And he marches off the field. And he's out of the company of believers. Well, the next scene was when they were still in their separate companies, but they were synchronized. And the Lord says, this is where I'm bringing the church today. All over the land, there are different bodies, but the same orders are going down to each one of those bodies, and they're beginning to do the same thing. You know, that's the reason I go so many places, and I just blend in, I just fit in. I find God's doing the same thing there as He's doing back home. No problem. Hallelujah, we're synchronized. We're all going the same way. And then I saw all of them come together. The Lord says, that speaks of the real unity that I'm bringing the body of Christ into. They're going to be aware that they're just one big body. I keep telling our little folks back home, I said, look, man, I've been to other states, and I tell you, there are folks out there just like us. You wouldn't believe it, because they ain't got a chance to go. But we're going to see these companies really brought together. I believe in a geographical sense. We're going to see more gathering of those who are of like mind and like nature and marching together in such unity that nobody's going to be marching out of the ranks at that point. And then we were going forward, and I said, Lord, I don't believe that we're going to have one of those flyaway raptures. Lord, I'm kind of disappointed with that part of the vision. Here we are, we just get all trained, we just get all unity, and here we go up in the rapture. And the Lord said, that wasn't a rapture. He says, that's when the church really gets in order and gets in unity. Then they're going to ascend into the heavenlies to fight the principalities of power in high and heavenly places. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I believe that with all of my heart, soul, and strength. I believe that what we're going through in conferences like this is for the purpose of bringing us together as one big body in the Lord Jesus Christ, being trained, being disciplined, being brought into oneness of mind and heart and purpose, so that as we're trained and as we're equipped and as we continue to march forward according to the commands of the Lord and go forward in Him, God just brings us on up into that greater realm of spiritual warfare where we're going to come against those principalities and powers that rule on high. Hallelujah. Excuse me while I rub my goose pimples. Glory! Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are y'all getting tired? It's just now, 1979. Amen. Hallelujah. Some of you look like you've been up all day. Not many of you, but most of you still alert. Well, we're going to start the new year. Brother Glenn felt that we should really do this and give an opportunity again for any of you that might feel a need for some further deliverance. I found some of you were still a little bit concerned because you said, well, I'm not sure I got everything I need to get and the conference is nearly over and what am I going to do? And we're used to that. And if some of you do want ministry, we'll stay a while longer and minister with you. Now, we don't want to beat a dead horse. How many of you, some of you may feel, or all of you may feel, you know, that you've received all of the help and deliverance that you know, that you need. You can't think of anything else. We're not here to scare up something. But are there some of you that feel like you could profit by a little more deliverance? You think of some areas. Maybe you got your list. There's several of you that do. So this will probably be one of those services that will kind of tail off. And, you know, if you feel like you've received your part and you're not helping somebody else, well, you feel at liberty to get your rest or whatever. You know, Brother George was talking a little while ago about ministering self-deliverance. This is something that all of us need to be well aware that we're able to do because... Amen. We are built-in deliverance minister. We have the same power and authority to deal with these things as any other spirit-filled believer. I remember that a lot of my deliverance has come in that way, and some of it tonight needs to come that way. We need to learn that we can cast spirits out of ourselves, so we're going to have some practice in that. I remember one time I got down behind the piano down in our basement and spread some papers on the floor and was down on my, hunkered down on my hands and knees and was getting after the devil and kept commanding those spirits to come out of me. And man, I was really getting along real good, and some joker in the family came down and leaned over the piano with me not knowing it because I had my head down and took a flashbulb picture. And that flashbulb went off. I thought I was really delivered. I tell you. Praise the Lord. But a lot of real valid deliverance has come to me through just challenging those spirits personally, commanding them to come out in the name of Jesus. There's many times I've commanded a spirit, and I could feel it in my own body. I could feel it dislodge, come up, just like somebody hit me in the Adam's apple. And that thing would be right there, and we'd come right on out. Now, I'm going to let you get some practice in self-deliverance. I want you to minister deliverance to yourself here tonight. Those of you that know that you have needs and know what they are. I want you to get your own, some of your own discernments, that you know what spirits are troubling you and to zero on them and command them, renounce them, and bring them out of you in the name of Jesus. All right? Let me give an opportunity for some of you to name some things because that might clue somebody else. Do some of you want to name some of the things that you're concerned about that we may not have gotten to or you feel like you've missed in an area of deliverance that you want to get to tonight? All right, right here. All right. Acupuncture is purely demonic. We have ministered to quite a few people who have. In fact, I won't go into that story, but I got involved in electrical acupuncture one time, not too long ago, and got it done ignorantly and innocently, but nevertheless, I had to go get deliverance from it. I didn't know what it was when it was happening to me. All right. Participation in Demolaya, that's a branch of the Masonic Lodge. I was telling somebody today, that I was ministering to a Lutheran minister one time, and he said he had been in Demolay, but he said I was just in it 2 or 3 months when I was young, and so I put it on a list that I was making as we were talking. This preacher had invited me to come over. We was in the kitchen of his church, just the two of us, and so I was looking at my list over here, and I said, well, let's start with the Demolay. And when I said Demolay, the demon of Demolay in him threw him out of his chair head first into the kitchen floor, and he'd only been in the thing 2 or 3 months. Rainbow girls, another, the girls section of that.
Forgetfulness.
All right, forgetfulness. If you've forgotten what you're supposed to be delivered of, you probably got that one. Yes, acupressure. I don't know a whole lot about that. Maybe somebody's had more. There's the people that mash on your foot in certain places, and some of them work through your ear. The one I had contact would say the ear is a representative of a miniature embryo and it represents different parts of the body. And so if you've got a problem in your leg, you send a current through your ear.
Therapy.
All kinds of variations of that. Our healing is in the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. All right, others?
Drowsiness.
And sleeping. Yeah. Especially if you have chronic problems of sleeping in church. Of course, we can kind of allow for a little bit of drowsiness this late, but if you chronically have trouble falling asleep when you read your Bible or when you're listening to a sermon and engaged in spiritual activities, you can just mark it down. That's an old demon, a spiritual hindrance, and he's trying to cut you off. Other?
Sort of sneezing.
All right, that could be a vexing spirit. Many spirits are just vexing spirits. All right, another one. Hard-headedness? I guess you're the only one that... Yeah, stubbornness. All right. Stiff neck, self-will. Yeah. All right. Restlessness. Nervousness. Fidgety. Right. Hyperactive. Okay. Back here. Right. No, do not edify. Another thing that just came to my mind, and that is spirits of imitation that cause us to imitate other people. You know, we see somebody over there, we want to be like him, so we start imitating him. We have spirits of imitation. Yes, fingernail biting. Oh, I tell you, we've seen so many beautiful deliverances from fingernail biting. We've ministered in places, and they're a nervous habit spirit. And there's people, you know, that are just chronically, all their lives, have just eaten their fingernails off. And we cast those spirits out, and then we've gone back to some of those places, and people come up grinning, you know, with their hands out like this, and The first time in my life I've ever been able to grow long fingernails. And said for a while they bothered me because I never had nails that long and I had to get used to it. You see, the devil wants to destroy you right down to your fingernails. Well, I guess one of the worst cases we had was a lady that came up and my wife said, "You need to be delivered from fingernail biting spirits." She saw her fingernails all eaten off and the woman began to cry. And she said, "That's just part of the story." She says, "I have a little baby." And says, "I've even eaten the fingernails off of my little baby." Mm-hmm. All right, others? Other discernments that you have, things that you're concerned about? Pride? All right, pride.
Fear and anxiety.
Fear and anxiety. And another area we haven't covered is addictions. If any of you have problems or have had problems with smoking or drinking or drugs, anything, food. Food can be. Some of us really need to get into the food thing too. That's another area we haven't gotten into. This was a major area of deliverance for me. I had a giant spirit of food idolatry. Food was so important to me. In fact, I couldn't enjoy one meal for wondering what the next one was going to be. But I'd be eating. I'd be enjoying a good meal, having a good meal, and I'd ask God to make, "Well, what are we going to have for the next meal?" You know, I couldn't. Obsessions with food and so on. There are many facets to the food thing. Of course, this contributes to a lot of people's weight problems because they are compulsive eaters or nervous eaters or eating for reward. Somebody mistreated me, and so I'm going to be good to myself and eat a big piece of that coconut custard pie with the high meringue on it. I'm going to reward myself. Reward with food, on and on. There's so many things in the food area. But let's be aware of that. Nothing else? Well, I'm not sure all you have in mind, Brother George. Maybe you can say it, but I will say this much about it, that there are many spirits connected with fantasy. You know, there's nothing in the Bible of fantasy. It's all reality. Jonah and the whale, that's not fantasy. Daniel and the lightning, that's not fantasy. And whenever we get into fantasy, we get away from reality. And reality is truth. And God wants to bring everything through the channel of truth. And it's damaging. A lot of people have a problem understanding this, but it's damaging to bring up our children and feed them fantasy. We need to bring them up in reality. Amen. Instead of make-believe, because it's a form of escape. And we have a generation that's brought up in front of so much television viewing, and they've watched so much fantasy on television that they cannot relate to the realities of life today. And then puppetry, and marionettes and puppetry, its origin is in witchcraft, as these things were used, manipulating those little things as a witchcraft technique to manipulate the lives of people. So those things are involved. Do you have any other things involved in that in your own thinking, Brother George, that need to be said? Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I've cast out some of those Disney spirits. I remember one that came out with a very definite manifestation. A Mickey Mouse spirit. You have Tinkerbell?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Peter Pan.
I've cast Peter Pan out of people. Santa Claus, Easter bunnies. All right. Inner ear problem. Now, this opens up the whole area of physical infirmities. Now, there's a close relationship between deliverance and healing. And I haven't found anybody that can draw a straight line and say, here's where one ends and the other one leaves off. But I've seen some remarkable things happen. Ida May was dramatically healed of high blood pressure with a demon through deliverance. See, a demon of high blood pressure, her blood pressure, which was excessively high. Three doctors had warned her that she needed to be on medication, and that thing went out, and that was 10 years ago, and she has never had any high blood pressure since then. The last time she had it checked, a few months ago, the nurse that took her blood pressure said, you have the blood pressure of a teenager. Hallelujah. Then I've seen diabetics delivered, and they've gone to the doctors, and they said, we find no evidence that this was ever in the person's body. I had heart trouble. I had chest pains and went to the doctor. They diagnosed me of having angina, gave me a pocket full of nitroglycerin tablets, said I'd have to live with it. And I just found out about deliverance, and I told our church, I said, we're going to have a special meeting this afternoon. You come and minister to me. And so they came and ministered to me and cast out the spirits of heart infirmity, and I never had another chest pain. Never had another one. God has healed me through deliverance of my allergies. I used to have extreme hay fever, pollen allergy hay fever. 5 years ago, I got delivered. I've had no pollen hay fever since that time. Hallelujah. So on and on. Many people have been healed of things through deliverance. So let's believe God. He's here to meet either kind of need tonight, whether it's through deliverance or the healing process.
Hallelujah.
Let's believe. For infirmity. If you have an infirmity, challenge it as affirmity. Some chronic ailment in some organ or part of your body, challenge it as demonic, because demons are associated with practically every disease and sickness there is. Even communicable diseases. Some people that have just chronic colds and sore throats and those things, I've had demons speak through people and identify themselves that I'm a communicable disease spirit. You know, whatever's going around, that's what I spread. Yes? Drop foot, okay, as a physical. All right, as a physical infirmity, yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. All right. Well, we've been warned about that today, aren't we? Secondhand smoke can hurt you too, okay? There can be. Sometimes spirits transfer addictions. Now, this is one thing you have to watch out. Some people that have said, well, I used to smoke, but I quit. But they didn't get delivered. There can still be a demon. Demons will lie there and be dormant and silent a lot of times and say, well, I can't get them to do what I used to do. I've heard them say this. I can't get them to do what I used to do, but I'd rather be here than somewhere else, and I'll catch them in a week time, and I'll make them do it. Or again, like one lady said, well, I got delivered from cigarettes. And I said, was a demon cast out? And she said, no, I just gave it up. Wasn't any problem. I said, how much did you smoke? She said, 3 packs a day. And I said, well, that's pretty interesting. Then the Lord gave me a little word of knowledge, and I said, but do you drink coffee? And she said, well, yes, I do. I said, very much. And she said, well, I guess you'd say quite a bit. And I said, how much coffee do you drink per day? She said, oh, about 3 pots. See, the demon of addiction had switched from 3 packs to 3 pots. Now, see, this is the reason some people are afraid to quit smoking. They are afraid that if they quit smoking, they're going to get fat. And the reason that happens so often is the demon of nicotine addiction will switch over to food addiction. And the person will begin to eat abnormally and excessively. And so the demon is not out. He has just changed the direction of the addiction. So he'll fool you and deceive you. All right, another one? All right, I'll say this, that we found over and over again that the reproductive organs are a prime target for the enemy. The women's organs are very susceptible to the attack of the enemy. They are responsible for a lot of women having hysterectomies and so forth. And so we usually, when we minister to a woman, we just automatically cleanse that area of her body from evil spirits, because it is a prime target. Watch out for spirits of death. If any of you have had any close brushes with death, either through an illness or an accident or whatever, drowning, near drowning or something like that, there can be a spirit of death. Or if you have wished to die, if you've been so discouraged you wished you were dead, you can have, through that death wish, you can introduce a spirit of death. And it will take the zest out of life. You just will not be able to have the buoyancy of life that you ought to have. Now, let's do this. Like I said, I want you to know that you can minister deliverance to yourself. So whatever spirits you have and that you're aware of, just take them one by one. If you have one, if you have a dozen, how many of you have? Just renounce it and say like this. Say, you old demon of fear, in the name of Jesus, God has not given me fear, and I renounce you, and I do not accept you, and you're going to come out of me. Now, in the name of Jesus, go. And begin to breathe and cough that thing out. And they'll come out. So you do that. If you need some help, some of us will help you. So let's be aware, those of us that can serve as helpers, and we'll serve as helpers tonight. Let me lead you in this deliverance prayer, and then I want you to begin to call those spirits out of yourself. All right, say with me, Lord Jesus, I love you, and I know you love me. Lord, you have saved me and redeemed me by your blood. I belong to you. I desire to live for you and to glorify your name. I am through with the devil, all of his ways. I take back all of the ground that I ever yielded to him. And I purpose to live for you. You have forgiven me of all my sins. I forgive every person that has ever trespassed against me. I forgive them now and ask you to forgive them too. Lord, I come to you as my deliverer. I ask you to set me free.
Your word promised me.
Whoever calls upon your name shall be delivered. I call upon you now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Deliver me and set me free. Amen. All right, now you just move right into your deliverance.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.